I'm on mobile, so the format might be a little bit wonky. And just as a reference, I'm a transgender man and use he pronouns now, but to make this story easier, I'm going to refer to myself as a female. At the time, my name was Samantha. This happened to me when I was around 12, so if I'm 20 now, that would make this about 8 years ago. Every summer, I would spend the time with my grandparents, who lived up in the mountains in a very small mountainside town. It was one of those remote little towns where just about everyone knew each other, but it was as empty as it was close. We barely had any streetlights at the time, none by my house. You know, that sort of thing. My grandparents were also a tad bit irresponsible. They would often leave me at the house all alone whenever they needed to run errands in the city a few hours away. I was a pretty responsible kid, though, and so nothing bad ever happened, until one summer evening. One summer's evening, I took a glass of iced tea outside so I could sit on the porch and watch the sun set. I was minding my own business, sitting there all alone, when all of a sudden I heard a voice call out to me. "Hey you, little lady." The voice was sort of thick and raspy, like this person had been chain-smoking for 40 years straight. I look up, and there's a man at the end of the driveway. To this day, his image is burned into my mind. He was tall. He towered over me at about 6'5", if I had to wager a guess. He was wearing a pair of overalls that were caked in grime and dirt, and what I would later learn to be animal blood. A white wife beater that was torn all to hell, muddy black boots, and somehow a completely pristine silver watch. He was an older man, maybe about 50 or 60, and his eyes were a sharp blue. His face was so wrinkled up that it reminded me of a walrus. His hair was gray with light streaks of blonde. He had a huge, long beard, and was mostly balding with long hair to his shoulders wherever he wasn't. He was also missing most of his teeth. If you're wondering how I got such a good look at him, I'll get to that in a moment. I didn't automatically assume the worst, even if this situation was very odd. I sort of replied with a non-committal, "Yeah?" He got closer to me, to the point where we were now only about 10 feet apart. "Do you have directions to 1234 Forest Lane?" he asked. That was my address. "That's here, this house. Are you looking for my grandparents? They aren't home today." Big mistake. My naive self thought nothing bad of this entire situation. He nodded, and this grin formed on his face. It was positively toothless and genuinely sinister. It was then that it clicked that something wasn't quite right. Good. Very good. The man looked all around. It occurred to me that none of my neighbors were home. Most were out to dinner, or staying late at work. It was a Friday night after all. My stomach sank. The man looked back at me, and seemed to scan me up and down. "You're a very pretty girl," he said simply. "Too pretty to be underage, I reckon." That made me start to shake. I was frozen in my steps, and here is this man who took a few steps closer. He then asked me a question that chilled me to my core, and to this day, it still haunts me. "Are you afraid to die, Samantha?" He knew my name. I had never seen this man before in my entire life, but somehow he knew my name. That's what scared me the most. I very wisely decided to get the fuck out of Dodge, and I ran into the house, slamming the glass screen door and locking it. A side note, our front door is a sliding glass door. It's weird, I know. He stood maybe about 3 feet away from the door, and after that we just stared at each other. In my head, I thought, I don't know if any of the other windows or doors are locked. He knew that I was thinking that, and so we stood in a standoff, just staring. I got a very good look at the man, everything from the smallest toe to the very top of his head. Each of us stood there, barely moving, seeming to be in an endless game of red light, green light, and whoever moved first would lose everything. The sun was setting. It felt like an eternity, but in reality we were maybe only there for 10 minutes tops. Every 30 seconds, it would get just a little bit darker, and darker, and darker. The man was slowly becoming just a silhouette, and then he was starting to disappear. No streetlights, no neighbors, no witnesses. I began to tear up and shake. I was so scared. I don't think I've ever been more scared in my entire life. Was I going to die here? I was so young, and there was so much I still wanted to do. If he ran to get in, what would I do next? Would I go back outside and try to make a run for the gas station up the street? Would I try to hide and outlast him until my grandparents arrived? If so, where could I hide? And then, by some grace of God, at that exact moment, my grandparents arrived home. The headlights shined on the man, or at least, that's where he should have been. Somehow, he was already long gone. I ran to my grandparents, sobbing and telling them the entire story. They called the police, but there wasn't much they could do. A few years later, I was at my grandparents' house once again. I woke up from a good night's sleep and wandered off into the kitchen, serving myself some breakfast that my grandma had made. I sat at the table right next to my grandpa. Wordlessly, he handed me the paper that he was reading. Front page, above the fold, there was a mugshot of the man I had encountered that day. He was a butcher in a remote town just a few hours away, convicted for killing and committing necrophilia on the bodies of his wife and 3 kids, then butchering them into pieces and throwing them out deep into the woods. He apparently was also under investigation for various murders, all of which involved dismemberment. I have no idea if anyone else saw this man or knows about the case off the top of their heads, but if you do, it would be really interesting to hear about and maybe read that news article again. I wouldn't be surprised, since this is so fucking sinister in nature. Apparently he only killed women, and if he truly did dismember all those people, I would fit his victim profile to a T. Young female, dark hair, dark eyes, and of Native or Hispanic origin. My grandfather took back the newspaper after I was done reading it, and in trying to conceal how shaken he was, he put a hand on my shoulder and said, "I'm so happy to have you here, kid."
To give some background information, this event occurred a little over a year ago, and I still haven't been able to even begin to get over it. I'm a 22-year-old, 5'4", female, and at the time I was 21. My family and I had recently moved to a new town that was a fair amount more rural than the town I had previously lived in. Our house was a large ranch-style house with a basement. I was home from college, and my parents had left for the week to celebrate their wedding anniversary with their friends, who lived several hours away. Before I continue, I'll give a quick layout of the house so that you'll be able to imagine the setting a bit more clearly. There were 3 doors which led into the house. One on the front porch, a sliding glass door on the back porch, which did have a lock and floor-length curtains for privacy, and another door on the other side of the wall from which my bedroom led into the garage and basement. When you walk out of my bedroom and turn, you can see all the way across the house, through the kitchen, living room, and dining area, to the door of my parents' bedroom, and the stairs leading up from the basement. At this point, it had been a few days since my parents had left, and so far I hadn't had any problems. They had sent me a couple of messages on Facebook, letting me know that they had arrived to their friend's house safely, and were having a very good time. The day had gone pretty well, and I was sure to check that I had locked all the doors of the house once the sun started to go down. It was about 11 p.m., and I was doing my nightly routine of staying in bed and messing around on the computer, when I suddenly got this sinking feeling of dread. It felt as if I was being watched. It was summer, and we didn't have AC, so I had a large box fan in the window, blowing the cool night air into my stiflingly hot room. But once that feeling settled over me, I decided that maybe I should remove the fan and close the window just to be safe. Once removing the fan, shutting and locking the window, and pulling down the curtain, I felt a bit better. However, I still could not shake the feeling of dread. I lay back down in my bed and tried to continue what I was doing, although I never put my headphones back on. After only a few minutes, I began to hear something that sounded like light scratching. I sat still in bed, listening to the sound and trying to pinpoint what it was and if I recognized the noise at all. Our new house, although relatively close in distance to our neighbors, had a fair amount of forest all around it. I thought the scratching may have been an animal, or just someone's dog that got loose and wanted to come inside. After a few minutes, the scratching stopped, and everything returned to complete silence. At this point, I figured that I was probably right, and that it must have been an animal. My relief was short-lived, though, as soon after the scratching stopped, from the other side of the wall, I began to hear footsteps slowly descending into my basement. This is when I knew I was completely fucked. There was no way I could get out of the house without walking past the basement stairs. We didn't have a house phone, and at the time I was in the process of getting a new cell phone because mine was broken beyond repair. I sat there for a few seconds, just wondering what the hell I should do. I knew that I would need to get out of the house as soon as possible, and that the more time I wasted, the worse it would end up being for me. I contemplated popping the screen out of my bedroom window and jumping out, but it was far enough off the ground that there was a good chance I would end up getting hurt if I did so, not to mention that if I jumped out the window and hurt myself, I wouldn't be able to run for help, and I would be right next to the door that whoever was in my house had just gone in through. I decided, very carefully and quietly, to open my door and peek out around the corner. If the coast was clear, I would make a mad dash for the front door and sprint to my neighbor's house for help. I very slowly opened my bedroom door, letting my eyes adjust to the darkness of the house, before creeping around the corner and looking to see if it was safe to make a run for it. What I saw nearly made me vomit. As my eyes scanned the house, I noticed that something was off. I squinted as hard as I could and looked over at the basement stairs. I started to be able to make out the shape of a man. What made it worse? He wasn't just standing at the top of the stairs. He was crawling up them like some kind of demonic creature. I quickly backed into my room again, shutting and locking the door as quietly as I could. I didn't think he'd seen me, but there was no way I was going to make a run for it now. My only choice was to pop the screen and jump out the window. As I was unlocking and opening my window, I heard the handle to my bedroom door turn. Once the man realized it was locked, in a sickeningly sweet sing-song voice he cooed, "I know you're in there." This was followed by a loud cackle, and what I can only imagine was him throwing himself at full force against my door. I ripped the screen out of the window and flung myself out. Unfortunately, I landed on the wrong side of my right foot, and I was sure I'd just badly hurt my ankle. At the time, I couldn't think of anything other than getting as far away as possible. I got up and hobbled as fast as I could to my neighbor's house, knocking on their door in a panicked frenzy and ringing the bell over and over. I looked over at my house as I was yelling for my neighbors to let me in. I swear to fucking God, I could see the man standing at my window, waving at me. My neighbors finally opened the door after what felt like forever, and I managed to explain well enough what was going on for them to let me in and call the police. I stayed with them until the police arrived. The police searched my house and found that the lock to the basement had been picked and that the door to my bedroom was hanging off the hinges. They weren't able to find the man anywhere, and because I had only seen him for a split second in the dark, I couldn't provide them with a good description of him. Of course, I got into contact with my parents immediately, and they hurried right home. The police took my statement and searched the area for the man, but of course they came up with nothing. After this event, my parents and I were sure to add deadbolt locks to the door leading into the basement, and to the door leading out of the basement to the rest of the house. They also helped me pay to get a new phone. What really bothers me about all of this, though, is that nothing was stolen. There wasn't even any evidence that the man had looked through anything, all the while he'd been inside my house.
I'm posting this story on a throwaway, because I'm embarrassed about how I handled this whole situation, and I don't really want it connected to my real name. I'll start with some background. I'm a 20-year-old college student, and my brother is 17. This story happened over summer, so at the time I was home from college. Our parents were out of town, because it was their 25th anniversary, and they decided to take a little vacation, leaving me and my bro home alone. That was fine by us, though. We spent most of the time drinking beer and playing Mario Party. During one of our game sessions, I showed my brother all of these texts I had been getting from a guy that I had gone to high school with. I didn't think much of them. They were mostly just weak attempts at flirting. Occasionally, he would say something about one of my Facebook posts or about seeing me somewhere around town, but I thought overall it was pretty harmless. My little brother seemed really concerned, though. He pointed out that the guy was texting me at least 7 times a day. He told me if I ever needed him, all I had to do was text him the word help, and he'd come no matter what. I laughed at him. I said he was being paranoid. Obviously, that sort of thing could never happen to me. I was very wrong. 2 days after we had that conversation, my brother was over at his girlfriend's house, which was about 5 minutes away, so I was completely alone at home. Me being the dummy I am, I posted on Facebook, "Home alone tonight." About 45 seconds after posting it, I got a message from the guy, saying that he could be over at my house in 5 minutes, and he really wanted to spend time with me. I told him no, but thanked him for offering. He responded by saying it was already too late, because he was headed there already. I told him no again, but he just kept insisting that I spend time with him. He said he had something special planned for us tonight. Again, I wasn't interested. He responded, "Too late. I'm already here." I went to my front door and opened it, only to see him standing there to my surprise, holding a bottle of very expensive red wine. I noticed that the bottle had been opened already, but the entire container was still full. Now we get to the part that I'm a bit embarrassed about. Somehow, after a while of talking, I let him convince me to let him inside. Once he was in, though, I started to notice things off right away, because he poured 2 glasses of wine. I didn't touch mine, because I noticed that he wouldn't touch his at all. He kept insisting that I drink mine, to the point of being angry that I wouldn't even try. It was about this time that I realized I had made a grave mistake. I excused myself and went to the bathroom, where I took the opportunity to text my brother. When I left, I noticed the man had stood up, and his eyes were locked onto me. He looked furious. He mumbled something. "I wish you had just done this the easy way." He started moving towards me, and I froze. His eyes looked like those of an animal. I completely froze up. I wanted to fight and scream, but I just couldn't move my body at all. He grabbed me and forced me to the floor, but even still I didn't fight. I shut my eyes and waited for the inevitable, but just then a miracle occurred. I heard the door burst open. My brother came flying in from the outside, calling out to me and asking if I was all right. My attacker stood up and tried to run, but my brother grabbed him and wrestled him to the ground. He pinned my attacker down and said the single most intimidating thing I've heard him say in his life. "If you text her again, I'll hurt you. If you look at her again, I'll hurt you. And if you touch her, I'll kill you." He dragged the guy out of our house and threw him face first to the pavement. Thankfully, I never heard from the guy again. After talking to my bro later that night, I learned that his girlfriend's parents weren't home that night, so he skipped out on definitely having sex, just to come save me without a single question.